I'm reading from the second book of Chronicles this morning, a verse of scripture that can be quoted by probably most of the people in this building, but we'll read it. Verse 14 of the 7th chapter. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Now the Bible says, Jesus said it, because it come a time in the history of being that men would not love truth, that he would give them a lie, that they might be damned. Paul talked about a strong delusion whereby many would be deceived. That we live in such a time as that cannot be argued this morning. That we live in such a time that this land of ours, the whole world as far as that's concerned, needs to be healed. And I think there needs to be a recognition of what's going on and why things have degenerated to the place that they are in our society. First of all, the failure to recognize the importance of the local church in God's master plan for evangelism of the world is the root of most of the problems that we face today. The failure to recognize we have substituted a lot of things for the local church. We have led ourselves to believe that just by getting on the air, television, and whatever, then the local church was relegated to a second place position. The goal in the work of evangelism must be the perfecting of saints into sanctified, committed disciples of Christ. That has to be the goal of the church. Now, the church is God's ordained place for the making of such disciples. They cannot be made otherwise. When the church becomes something other than God intends, then the church produces something that God never intended. Everything after its kind has always been the law of the harvest. Whatever the church is, that church will ultimately produce in the converts that she brings forth. The church is God's place for producing those disciples. Now, God's plan A for the redemption of the world is the church. And he has no plan B. Now, if we could get that settled in our minds, then our focus would be put back. There's no way that you can make it apart from the local church. I don't care how strong you think you may be, what you may think about yourself, if you have the notion you can make it without the fellowship and partnership and communication of a local church, you're thinking more highly of yourself than you are. Now, second, God does not want fans. God doesn't want cheerleaders. God wants disciples. That must register with us today. We produced a lot of fans. We can go through all the hoopla, which is all a part, but not the end results. We can go through all the fanfare and the cheering, but the thing that God is after is disciples, people that are convinced that Jesus is Lord and Christ, and that the whole of life is bent toward that. God wants men and women whose priorities are right, who love not their lives unto death. He wants a people that, seeing the challenge before them, are willing to strip themselves to be a part of that being of what God desires. It has always been these kind of people. God's work in the earth demands one thing: a committed people through which he can produce that work. If he can find that people, then God will do the work. So, one minute, I think the big problem with us today is our believing. We believe things with our mind that we really don't believe with our heart. We don't really believe in hell. We talk about it. We don't think grandma's going there. Though she doesn't know the Lord, She's such a nice old lady that somehow we believe she's going to escape it. We do not consider such a thing. But I think one minute in the flames and torment of hell would open our eyes to how unloving the so-called gospel preached today really is. It would show you that love demands our going beyond the little petty things that we have today. What we believe makes all the difference in what we do. Can you hear me? I said, what we believe makes all the difference in what we do. The thing that drove those first disciples to the end of the earth, brought them to a place that they loved not their lives unto death, is that they were concerned with the lostness of man. They knew he was lost. They knew without God that the end result of that soul was hell. That's what drove them to the ends of the earth. The social and economic problems of the first century were equal or worse than what we face today. Yet they did not set out to build social relief centers, hospitals, or educational institutions. They preached Christ as everything. They knew that hungry people needed to be fed and that we ought to be involved in that. But they knew first of all that lost men and women must have Christ or spend eternity in the darkness and torment of a place the Bible calls hell. Now, with that introduction, I want to say to you something about what's happening in this society. Why things are like they are. Why we have madmen walk on our school grounds and shoot 7- and 8-year-old children. Why that we have such demonic situations in the society in which we live. Why that we have to lock our doors and put bars on our windows in broad open daylight. Why Thelma, here on a Friday, drove right across broad daylight here at Gibson's store, stepped out, two young men sitting there in the car, one of them jumped out, grabbed her purse, jumped back in the car, went away, left her standing there in a daze. Why have we come to such a place that in the broad open daylight, in a world I grew up in, we never locked a door? If we was gone from the house for 2 weeks, just left it open, wanted it where the neighbors could get in if anything took place. What has happened to make that change? Let me tell you first of all that without Christ, people serve devils. There's no such thing as neutrality. You say, I don't believe in God. Do you believe the devil's God? You either serve him or serve God. Without Christ, people serve demon spirits. There's only two religions in this world. That is the worship of the one true God and the worship of the devil. There is nothing else. Everything else sprung out of that. All false Christianity sprung out of the true. All demon religion sprung out of the one I'm going to tell you about. The gospel followed the Son. All the way through, Abraham followed the Son. The gospel traveled from the Middle East into Europe, left the Atlantic, came to America. But the retrograde seed of Cain went eastward. There was born all of the hellish religion. Amen. The retrograde seed produced that. The demonic religion spread from its birthplace, which was Babylon and old Persia, to India. And there it took roots, and the Indian missionaries carried it to the rest of Asia. Hinduism, Buddhism, Shintoism, all of them sprung from the same root. All the Asian religions came out of the same root. The church entered blind drive for unity. And the ecumenical setting of our time has so compromised her beliefs that demons are now able to spread this Babylonian religion in America. The Bible said, blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord. There was a time, mister, when this nation had one God. But today across your land, you will find the temples of Buddhism, Muslim, Islam, all of it. We're a divided people because of the compromise of the church in her drive for unity. One of the neo-Pentecostal preachers said, if there's going to be any unity between the Mormons and the Jehovah Witnesses and ourselves, then it's Christianity is going to have to give up. I'm not trying to have unity with those things outside of the church. I'm just telling you it was a compromising of the belief system of the church that's allowed this demonic thing to be spread across America. Pop culture, rock groups, singers, university professors, and the media have become the vehicle of the spread of this demonic religion. Every talk show has the channelers on it. Every talk show talks about the yoga, transcendental meditation. The Bible's not allowed in the schools, but that Eastern religion is allowed there. It spread and took a hold. You think that it's just games that men work up. I'm telling you, when men can bend over and be beaten with sticks and feel no pain, there is an altered consciousness that's not of God. You listen to me. We've moved into a realm of things in this day that where that is an accepted thing and the gospel isn't. Without Christ, people live to serve demons. Religion, without God, relates to everything, including your name, your birth, your education, your marriage, business deals, travel, and death. If you don't believe that, just talk to that Hindu believer. Just talk to him. It relates to everything of life. If there's some kind of a something that they have to go through with it all. In America today, people are flocking by the thousand to the so-called channelers. They're just mediums of demons for guidance on every issue of life. Amen. We have these gurus that are allowing devils to talk through them. And all of America is in an uproar over it in this hour. What's wrong with America? I'm going to tell you. I'm showing you, ladies and gentlemen, there's one way out of the mess. It's not political, but it's an old-fashioned revival brought to America by a church that recognizes not what God wants it to be. Because Oriental culture and religion are a mystery. Many of the people of the West are fascinated by it without knowing the power of these demons to bind, to enslave their followers. They don't recognize what they're getting into. When they begin to move in, they're fascinated by the mystery, and they're flocking to it. It's become an accepted thing. What routinely follows the mystery religions of Babylon is degradation, humiliation, poverty, suffering, and death. I've been to India. I walked the streets of Calcutta. I looked at that caste system. Born, bred, die on a street. Never had a decent moment in its life. But you look into the agony of that baby's face, ladies and gentlemen. Those starving children's and the agony is actually caused by centuries of religious slavery. It's brought on, mister, the single most important social reform that can be brought to any nation, including America, is the old-fashioned gospel of Christ that recognizes that humanity and God are separate. That isn't believed in that religion. They believe you're God. And that's being taught in the Pentecostal ranks, some of it today. You're hearing across this nation the sound that you're God. I'm going to deal with that. But God in this Bible, He's one thing, we're another. And the house is never as great as its builder. You hear me? I said the house. I've been made a partaker of the divine nature of God, but I am not divine. The real culprit in that world is not the lack of natural resources, nor is it the lack of a system of government. It is spiritual darkness. No matter. No matter. I can tell you, and I make no slam against our neighbors. Some of my best friends live to the south of us. I can tell you, Massachusetts came into being at the same time Mexico did. Amen. About that time. But you look at the difference between the two of them today. One is in a point of retrogression, I know. But it climbed under that Puritan religion to one of the greatest commonwealths on earth because of the light. Let me tell you something. Spiritual darkness is the problem with the world in our time. Now, when you come to the basis of Eastern religion that has insinuated itself into the belief system of the people, the neo-Pentecostal folks in our time, the basic of it all is evolution. Evolution is the basis of all Eastern cults. Now, reincarnation is the belief that the soul evolves from lifetime to lifetime, working out imperfections, dealing with the karma, the total self, working out the perfections on to godhood. Amen. This is the whole thing. From lifetime to lifetime, moving toward godhood. Now, reincarnation is a foundation for Hinduism, Buddhism, astrology, and Christian mysticism. It is the basis of it all. The New Age theology, which is increasingly being incorporated into the neo-Pentecostal theology, is Eastern thought repackaged to the materially oriented but spiritually hungry West. It is being repackaged. Now, the repackaging is seen in Shirley MacLaine's book, Out on a Limb. There you see reincarnation is not from animal to human or into rats, but from human to human. We couldn't hardly accept it on the other basis. So it's no longer animal to human passing through, as they say in that world, but it is from human to human. Amen. Now, the new popular evolutionary theory that's being introduced into the American schools and colleges, it's called punctuated equilibria. And today it is replacing the old Darwinian thought of evolution. You see, it's coming in, and it is a monumental development with the preparation of the West for the reception of these Eastern thoughts. Now, because Darwin 120 years ago, along about then, said that the fossil digs in later years would prove that his mechanism of selectivity would prove that it was true, that he was right. But because of fossil records' inability to support Darwin's mechanism of natural selection, and they still don't believe in God, amen, so they had to come up with a new one. And renowned scientists have developed and endorsed a new theory to replace the previously accepted evolutionary thought. Now, this is one of the slickest tricks of the devil, because millions of our kids are going to be taught this. Amen. It's no longer the gradual situation that was taught by Darwin, but it's a different. The major characteristics of this punctuated equilibrium are parallel to Eastern metaphysical conscious evolution. That's what they call it. It's just a different term. But conscious evolution is a belief in the quantum leap that humanity takes when those who have realized their divine potential. You see, in the Bible, it says that in a moment, in the twinkle of an eye, at the rapture, we're going to be caught up, we're going to be changed. Now they're saying that evolution has reached the point that it, all the way through, because you can't find an ape back there that's half man and some going through the change, is because people reached a certain plateau in their conscience evolution and changed instantly. An ape was an ape one day and a man the next, and it's silly, but men will believe it. It's an old reincarnation being sold in the marketplace to your kids. I'm going to tell you something about that in this message as to why we're having the problems we're having. But this conscious evolution that revolution that's taken place. They believe and teach that we have been saying amen and produce a world, the quantum leap that those people, amen, conscious evolution is. It is a rapid transformation. They say when a critical mass of godlike person takes a giant leap from Homo sapiens to Homo universalis, that is perfected beings in the universe, that they actually become God. That is what they're saying. That's the thing being bought in the kingdom now, kingdom dominion, a message that's being preached across this nation and accepted by a lot more people than you dare think about, ladies and gentlemen. It is being swallowed up and took a hold of by a lot more people. Now, since the new evolutionary theory and the new age conscience evolution of the same, this Antichrist theology will be taught in the schools to your children and my grandchildren. It'll be taught there. What a trick. They threw the Bible out, but now, and let Christ come and run it. Amen. This is the whole thing that's being taught out there. It'll come to you if it hasn't already. There is that appeals to the flesh. Amen. The ongoing reincarnation of Christ. If that's what we are, the church, you see, it's come out boldly now that we're the ongoing reincarnation of Christ. And that through this evolution of things, we've reached a point now when our Godhood is going to break out and we're going to bring this earth into subjection to God. Now, what foolishness! What foolishness! The cornerstone of the kingdom dominion theology is that we are, they are the ongoing reincarnation of Christ. That is the cornerstone. Both Tommy Reed in his book Seduction, A Biblical Response, Earl Park in That the World May Know, subscribe to this divinity of man. Amen. They subscribe. Daisy Osborne in her teaching said, I am a divine woman. By God, folks, I'm telling you, the old lie that the devil sold in Eden, you shall be as God, is being accepted wholesale by a church that's been blinded by a compromise in this awful hour. Now, these people are not speaking of being partakers of the divine nature, according to 2 Peter 1 and 4. Instead, the belief is that they're becoming equal to God and to assume the role of Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible talks about us, Christians, being conformed to the image of Christ. But we're never going to be God. It never says that. There can be the man in his Godhead. Both New Age and Kingdom Dominion are Antichrist. They seek to take the place of Christ. This Bible says that he'll come back with his church. He'll then put the devil in the pit. They'll then begin a millennium. He will destroy. He'll set up the kingdom. I'm not going to set it up. Them people are not going to set it up. But whatever insinuates itself in the place of Christ becomes the Antichrist. That's what we're dealing with in this hour, and it's being accepted by a great number of people in all of the Pentecostal denominations than you dare believe, amen, that are subscribing to such a thing. A basic belief is both is, you are God. They bought Satan's lie to Eve that you shall be like God. Reincarnation is the process whereby we realize our own divine potential. That's what they're saying. Reincarnation. We're the ongoing reincarnation of Christ. I am Christ. I'm called, they're saying, to take the place. In her book, Out on a Limb, Shirley MacLaine was shouting at that ocean, I am God. Well, that's all right for that kind of a crowd. But when it comes down and claims to be a part of the Christian church and propagates such a thing, mister, there's something and something in trouble. A society is in trouble when such demons begin to move. The new theology says our problem is ignorance and not sin. This is what's being taught. Paul and others said that Christians don't sin. They're just ignorant. They haven't climbed far enough. in the reincarnation ladder. And so it isn't sin. It is just ignorance. Now, before you can accept the church as the ongoing reincarnation of Christ, the issue of sin has to be dealt with. I said it has to be dealt with. The Bible said about Christ, He who knew no sin. And if we're going to accept that position that we are Christ, amen, in the sense that they're saying, Christ lives in us, but we don't become Him. We have become partakers of His divine nature. We have wound up a perfected humanity, but never divine beings. But now, sin has to be dealt with. The real enemy who must be removed in all of this is a Bible-believing Christian. You listen to me. Because they focus on the sins of mankind and not, instead upon mankind, realizing his potential godhood. The hatred that's being raised in this time against real Bible believers is on this issue right here. We are the dividers. Man must come to unity. This unity ecumenical thing in the church today, all along the years I've watched it, when it was just old dead organizations uniting together. I said there's nothing to that, nothing to worry about. But the day that it takes on a Pentecostal context, I said for years, 10, 12 years ago, that it'll head straight to demonism. That's where it's heading today, this ecumenical factor. Amen. That believe that in the unity of the whole thing, that a great big mass, a blob of people that don't really believe anything is going to be the issue. It's going to be the issue. And they're saying that the problem is those people that still focus on sin in the life of the believer, that are saying that it is that which keeping God from moving, instead of focusing on the potential godhood of the people. We have become the problem. The new message is, you need to know who you are in Christ. There is a truth there. But that truth can't be carried to the extreme. They couple that with the new self-esteem and prosperity teaching. We now hear that Christ died for us because we were worthy. That's the message that's being sung. Christ died for you because you're worthy. The Bible said, while you were yet ungodly, Christ died for your sin. But the message being sounded today is that Christ went to Calvary because we were worth saving. Amen. That we were worthy and good people. Amen. Paul says, Christians don't sin, it's immaturity. They need to progress further in on the ongoing incarnation of Christ. I want to tell you something, folks. The devil fell because of pride, not the lack of self-esteem. We need to know that. We need to write that down in our Bible. And every time you hear this kind of trash that's being sounded in this hour, as we're led towards self-love by a different spirit and another Jesus, our desire for a Savior diminishes. Amen. We become our own salvation. We're God. And the whole thought of Eastern religion, and the whole thought of the New Age theology, and now the whole thought of a part of the Pentecostal world is that God is in us, and we are the ones. They say, Tommy Reed, one of the vast spokesmen for this crowd in Pentecost, said that we have a mandate from God to ecologically save the earth. He's saying that we must redeem the earth. All the Eastern religions ascribe life to the earth. That's the reason she come to be called Mother Earth. They say she's a living cell and we are just part of cells of it. That's almost got to be the belief in the Christian church in this hour. Amen. We have a mandate to save the earth. I'll tell you what's going to save the earth. It's going to be burned up, and a new heaven and a new earth is going to come from the hand of God. The body of Christ is being led from our being sinners in need of God's help to our problem of being ignorant of our potential divinity. We're being led away from the dependence upon God. We don't need a Savior. We just need to evolve upward Amen. In this reincarnation system. I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen, you could be seated in some assembly of God churches. Some churches of God, some Pentecostal churches of God, some independent churches, and hear this preached as a truth. I'm not talking about something that's coming. I'm telling you about something here. Herein then lies everything that's wrong in this great land of ours. Herein lies the problem. You listen to me closely. Conscious evolution, our reincarnation, is a belief that the soul passes from one life to another as it moves to its divine potential or godhood. That's the belief. Remember, Pentecost is saying, son, that we're the ongoing reincarnation of Christ. Ongoing means that we're evolving, that we're coming. Amen. Somehow or another, you listen to it. It'll come. That we're the final generation. Now the quantum leap is going to take place in us. They don't preach a rapture. No, sir. They do away with the rapture. They're talking about the evolution here. That we are going to be what He is. That we're just going to wake up as Him. Now, because that it's moving to another life of higher harmony, listen to me, no matter what happens, there are no victims, there are no accidents, whatever happens is a part of it. If you were to go with me to India and we had walked the streets of Calcutta, the hearts of India's misery, you can find it anywhere in that land, but mostly there, or worse there than anywhere else, there's a caste system. People bred and born on a street, the same place they wash the face becomes a sewer, just runs into the curb, along the curb. They live and die on that street. People pass them by, nobody worries. You talk to them. Why? Aren't you concerned? Because that's their karma. They have to pass through that. That's on the way to a higher life. They deserve what they're getting. They are no victims. They are no victims. No accidents. I didn't see that movie, but I saw spots of it. And that movie, Out on the Limb, Shirley MacLaine and this Chandler, this guru that let the demon talk through a tour, came up where a bus load of 40 people had run off of a cliff. All of them are dead. And she begins to weep. And he says, what are you weeping about? Well, the terrible tragedy. That's no tragedy. Amen. There's no victims down there. There are no accidents. That is from the past life. This karma, which means total self, has to pass through all this. Those people meeting their destiny. There is no victims. You see what I'm telling you? Listen, folks. That's the reason that there's no soul in this nation. That euthanasia is being accepted as the right way to do things. That people get a certain age, if they don't die, kill them. Hitler called his business the cleansing of the earth. And in reincarnation was a basic principle of Nazism. He was cleansing the earth and killed millions of people. No problem with the conscience. Because there's no victims. No victims, you see. This reincarnation. Now the adultery, rape, murder, abortion, child abuse, mass murder, war are all a part of the perfecting process of becoming God. Amen. If your wife is raped and murdered, don't worry about it. That's what it had to be. And so the conscience is seared. There's no more mourning and feeling and compassion left in that kind of a thing. Life is cheap, mister. I was in Egypt the first time. We'd gone out to the pyramids. And coming back, there were three taxi cabs of us. The one in front of us hit a little boy, about 8 years old. We picked him up, put him in the cab, took him to a hospital of such. There in that hospital, there was a young doctor from New York that were with Larry and I. And he said the boy has concussion and he'll die if something isn't done to relieve the pressure. And he looked around, finally found the doctor, and he said, I brought a young boy here, 11 years old, that'll die if something doesn't happen. And the doctor said, so what? There's 4.5 million more of them out there. See, life, cheap, no feeling, reincarnation, that belief. J.Z. Knight, the one in the West, has such a following, has that 35,000-year-old demon that talks through her. She calls Ramtha. People are coming from everywhere, everywhere. Hundreds and thousands. She's many times a millionaire. Them paying her to let this demon answer questions for them. Said on one of the major talk shows, Donahue or one of them, that murder wasn't wrong. That's exactly the words on national television. If I, preacher of the gospel, had said that, that had you locked up in a psychiatric ward. But she said there's nothing wrong with murder. When you know that that soul is only moving to a higher life, then there's absolutely no victims in this society. Amen. Rape, child abuse. That child is just going through that. His parents are beating him, starving him, sexually abusing him. It's the process of him becoming a god. That's the basic belief wavering through this society of ours. The new theology interprets Satan's telling Eve that she'd be like God and she would know good and evil. You know what good is in that theology that's becoming a part of us? Good is recognizing that you're God. That's good. And recognizing you're God, there can be no evil. Evil, evil only, is not recognizing that you're God. Amen. Not reckon. Those are the ones. That's the cancer cell that has to be cut out, destroyed. That's what's being said. That's the cell. True believers that know that I'm not God. God's the Father. I'm just a part of the family. Amen. That there's no bringing together the two of them. Amen. This evil is not knowing you're God. If you're murdered, raped, or abused, it's because you do not know you're God. Not know your God, did not know that you are God. Those who do not know or recognize their God potential are cancerous. Cancerous cells must be removed. This is what motivated Hitler's cleansing of the earth. Amen. Said he was cleansing the earth. Led to the destruction of millions of innocent life without a tear being shed. Without a tear being shed. No compunction. Our people lost all consciousness. I wondered how, in the name of God, can a great industrial nation be reduced to barbarians in less than 10 years? But I realize, I've watched this one, moving, moving, moving. Police can't arrest a criminal without burning a city down. We live in a time when on our schoolyards comes devil-possessed men to shoot our little children, then shoot themselves. Amen. We live in a time where promiscuity is an accepted way of life. We don't teach our children that sex is reserved for marriage. We teach them how to have safe sex and not get AIDS. We don't teach anymore that homosexuality is an abomination to the Almighty. The government has pornographic films to show you how to have safe homosexual relations. What are you saying? I'm saying that we've been reduced almost to barbarians because this belief is prevalent in our society. Because this belief. This grave cry of sympathy is being raised for whoremongers and fornicators in the pulpit. You can hear it all over. If you listen, there are those that are angry if you don't like what's going on.
Right.
Amen. They'll tell you what great good they're doing. Amen. They'll cite all the good and say, you're a devil because that you don't like this. You're a divider. That's somehow that cancer must, not the cancer of whoremonger and homosexuality and drunkenness. Not that ain't the cancer. The cancer is the people that stand up and say that Calvary is not a license to sin. The new sound today is the world's going to be Christianized, not evangelized. Listen to me. Christianized. Earl Pope says the church is the deliverer growing up in the earth. Tommy Reed says the church is programmed for success. Jesus says, because straight is the way, narrow is the gate, which leadeth unto life. Few there be that find it. Now, if the road is broad, it must be the road to destruction. If the majority find Christ, it must be the wrong Christ. If the world becomes Christianized before the return of Christ, it must be the wrong Christianity. Shepherds are convincing their sheep that the delegated authority given to us by Jesus Christ includes the Christianization of the whole world. But Revelation 19:19 tells us that the world will be in direct opposition to Christ when it comes. If the world welcomes Christ, then it's the wrong Christ. They're getting ready for the Antichrist. What's wrong in America? Society reacts to the prevailing spirit. Revival, old-fashioned revival, restrains evil. Amen. Restrains evil. Though everyone's not saved, and it doesn't restrain it by law. It is that when the Holy Ghost flowing through the church, that permeates the good. Amen. Men want to do right. When I was a boy, everybody wasn't saved, but everybody wanted a good city. Everybody wanted it right. Everybody loved good. Honesty. Of course, there was a thief here and there, but the vast majority of society wasn't. Amen. When there's an old-fashioned revival, it restrains because the Spirit of God prevails. But when demonic spirits, amen, prevail, society reacts in kind. Entertained by evil, listen to me. Entertained by murder, adultery, perversion, infidelity, all seem humorous. Everyone is not demon-possessed. Now, does everyone believe in reincarnation? But to a greater or lesser degree, society in America has become to believe there's no victims. In 1973, the Supreme Court ruled it's legal to murder babies. 20 million babies later, we don't have any trouble sleeping at night. I said, we don't have any trouble sleeping at night. A mass murder has become the order of the day. Drugs are our biggest problem. Homosexuality is an acceptable lifestyle. We slap the hand of the rapist, call the child molester a sick. Our problem is a wrong spirit has gained the ascendancy. And the only answer is an old-fashioned revival where the Holy Ghost once more can flow through the church. Give him.